Lord, today as we open your word together, would you be pleased to speak to our hearts, Father? Might we hear what the Spirit would say to the church and ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you can grab your Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 15. As you are turning there, I'd like to read some verses. Colossians 4:6 declares, "Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Psalm 119, verse 171 and 172, "May the lips, my lips overflow with praise, for you teach me your decrees. May my tongue sing of your word, for all your commands are righteous." Proverbs 12, verse 18 declares, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Psalm 141:3, "Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips." In Proverbs 31, verse 26, "She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue." All of those verses really deal with the issue of the words which we speak. There are about 800,000 words in the English language. 300,000 of those are technical terms. The average person knows 10,000 words and uses about 5,000 in everyday speech. A journalist knows approximately 15,000 and uses around 10,000 of those in their craft. Here is a little quote that you may recognize, maybe not in the first part, but in the second. "Scintillate, scintillate, globule vivific. Fain would I fathom thy nature specific. Loftily poised in the ether capacious, strongly resembling a gem carbonaceous." You go, what is that? Well, in real language, it is "twinkle, twinkle, little star. How I wonder what you are, up above the world so high, like a diamond in the sky." And so we use words. Sometimes we understand what we're saying, sometimes not. But Solomon here is talking to us about the importance of controlling our tongue, the power of the tongue, being willing to speak worthy words. In verse 1 of chapter 15, we read, "A soft answer turns away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit." So Paul, or rather Solomon, would remind us of the power of our tongue. In verse 1, he talks about the gentle word spoken. When we're speaking to others, we don't have to necessarily make a point. Because if you're making a point, sometimes that can pierce the heart of another person. We need to be those who are willing to speak gently. A soft answer turns away wrath. And perhaps you've experienced that. When people come against us, sometimes it's easy to respond in like kind when they attack us verbally. But the Lord would say to us, no, that's not how you're supposed to respond. You need to respond with a gentle word, and it will bring peace in that situation. Wise words or foolish words, what are we going to speak? The tongue of the wise uses knowledge aright, verse 2, but the mouth of fools pours out foolishness. I'm reminded of the story of Jesus taking the disciples up to visit a Samaritan village, and James and John were with him, and when they got there, the Samaritans didn't necessarily receive them like they expected, and James and John were pretty twisted up about it. As a matter of fact, they said, "Lord, would you have us to call down fire upon these people?" Have you ever felt like that? Lord, would you like me to call fire down upon these people? But the Lord would encourage us to lay down those things and to walk with him faithfully. We need to be those who are willing to speak wholesome words. Verse 4, it likens them to a tree of life. And as you walk through the scriptures, the tree of life, you see it in the book of Genesis. You see it here in Proverbs. You see it in the book of Revelation. The tree of life, which brings life, it brings health. And that's exactly what the Lord wants for you and for me. That's what he wants for our lives, that when we are interacting with others, that we will do so in such a fashion that we become, if you will, a tree of life for them, that we are pouring life into their life. Words can break or they can build up. And we've all done both, I'm sure. He goes on there in verse 5, the fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regards reproof is prudent. In the house of the righteous is much treasure, but in the revenues of the wicked is trouble. The lips of the wise disperse knowledge, but the heart of the foolish does not so. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. You should underline that. The way of the wicked is an abomination unto the Lord, but he loves him that follows after righteousness. There is treasure in your tongue this morning. There is treasure in my tongue as well. Listen, we can speak life into people, or we can speak death into them. We have to choose. And it's easy in our world today, with all the turmoil going on, that we can find ourselves being tempted to speak harshly, tempted to speak death rather than to speak life. We need to be those that are willing to invest our resources wisely. You have something valuable to say to other people. Be looking for those opportunities. Be praying daily. Lord, help me to see those divine appointments which you bring into my life so that I might speak life into the lives of those around me that need to hear that there's hope, that there's freedom, that there's peace, that there's forgiveness, that Jesus is bigger than whatever has unfolded in your life to this point. We need to do that. God wants to use us for his glory, and he wants to hear from us. He delights in our prayers. In the Old Testament, we see the picture of our prayers ascending to heaven as incense from the tabernacle and from the temple. As you offer that prayer, it is that offering that sweet savor to the Lord. But more than that, it is activating the forces of heaven as we pray before him. And he hears our prayers. It says, if we ask anything in accordance with his will, he hears us. Let's make this year a year of increasing prayer, personally and corporately. We've seen the Lord do some amazing things, and he wants to continue to do that. We need to seek his face, even as we sang earlier today. The psalmist declares, early will I seek thee. That's where we need to start. In the early morning hours when we wake up, our first thought, Lord, thank you for carrying me through the night. Lord, I don't know what you have in store, but I'm excited about the potential that this day holds. Lord, use me. Lord, help me to walk in the power of your Spirit. Fill me afresh with your Spirit, Lord. You and I, we need to follow after righteousness. And when we say that really simply means we need to follow after Jesus, to walk with him day by day, to practice his presence, to give him thanks for all he's done for us. In verse 10, he goes on, correction is grievous unto him that forsakes the way, and he that hates reproof shall die. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. How much more than the hearts of the children of men? A scorner loves not one that reproves him, neither will he go unto the wise. That verse became very real to me this week. I had a contact, an email, and then a phone conversation with an individual. They wanted to get together. I had not seen them for probably 30 years. And so I said, sure, let's get together. So we got together and we began to talk. And and they began to tell me their story and all that was going on. And so I turned them to the word and I said, here's the deal. You know, this is spiritual in nature. You need to recognize it. I know it's very, I mean, it's very material in what's going on in your life, but there is a fundamental spiritual action going on right here. And they simply said they disagreed, that it had no spiritual nature. And I said, it does. And they looked at me and they said, and this person is probably 20 years younger than me. And he said, I know more than you. And in my spirit, I said, no. But in my spirit, I knew the conversation was over. Because this individual was a scorner. And they were rejecting the truth. I feel bad about that. I felt bad about that then. I'm praying for the individual. But they reject the truth. And they won't receive wisdom. He probably is smarter than me. But I didn't call him. So... So we look for those appointments. We look for those things that the Lord brings into our experience. And we realize that it won't always go the way we think it's going to go. But that doesn't make what we've done a failure. The strong-willed individual chooses to reject correction, chooses to reject guidance. They chafe at the yoke of guidance. And that's the nature of the flesh. And that's in the unbeliever and the believer. They simply do not want to follow the Lord's way. Matter of fact, the scripture says there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is death. And so we are, if you will, throwing out the life preserver to those individuals as we share with them the truth of God's word. In verse 13, I love this verse, a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. He goes on, the heart of him that has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouth of fools feeds on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. I love that section of scripture. You see, Solomon tells us there is a direct connection between our heart and our face. What's going on in our heart will surely show on our face. A joyful heart works good like a medicine is another one. We need to cultivate that. We need to cultivate that joyful heart. We need to realize that we have much to be joyful for. There's a lot of challenges in our world and in our own lives personally. Every day we deal with those challenges. We all have challenges in this place. And they tend to pull at us. They want to drain us of our strength. And that's why we need to be continually practicing the presence of Jesus. We need to be continually praying for the fullness of his spirit. We need to choose joy rather than choosing sorrow. Because we can find ourselves rolling around in the pit of despair, if you remember that line of a movie, The Pit of Despair. Princess Bride. And I always remember that, the pit of despair. And the guy told the guy that was captive, there's no escaping it. And I'm going to tell you here today, yes, there is. His name is Jesus. We don't have to be in the pit of despair. We can be free. In verse 16, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. A wrathful man stirs up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeases strife. We're told that we need to nurture love at home with our tongue. We need to be nurturing one another. Our homes need to be a place of security. A place where people know that they can come. Our children know that they can come there because it's a place of security, a place of safety. Friends and family know that they can come because it's a place of security and safety. I love the story of the prodigal son. I mean, we talk a lot about about the father running to him and all the wonderful pictures that we see here. But there's one section there where he is getting ready to come back. And in Luke, we read this: "And when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger.'" He came to himself. He remembered that his home was a place of security and provision. That's what we want. Even if we have our loved ones wandering in the world right now, doing stuff that isn't right, breaking our hearts, we need to remember that in their spirit, they remember the security of what they left behind. And our prayer needs to be that the Lord will break through and bring them back. Bring them back into the fold. And may, praise God, may we be like the Father. When we see them coming, we go running to greet them. We don't say, "It's about time. You came to your senses." We need to be in that place of ministry, because also it's a place of renewal. It's a place of renewal. Our homes need to be a place of renewal. Isaiah 40, verse 31, many of you are familiar with the verse, says, "They that wait upon the Lord will" what? "Renew their strength." How many times do we find ourselves in that place of emptiness, where we're feeling pretty empty? When we find ourselves in that place of being drained, of being down, of being discouraged, we need to simply stop and get in the Lord's presence and wait upon him and allow him then to pour into us that which he knows that we need. Because we find also there that our homes are a place of safety. The word says, "The Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and is safe." We can run to him. He is our home away from home, if you will. But he needs to be in our homes as well. In verse 19, it goes on. "The way of the slothful man or the lazy man is a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. A wise son maketh glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Folly is joy to him that is destitute of wisdom, but a man of understanding walks uprightly. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established." Solomon really paints for us a picture there. The way of the slothful is like an overgrown path, a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. You see, our tongue can create a clear pathway or not. We can point people clearly to Jesus, or we can load them up with a whole lot of things that they don't need to get them to Jesus. We can complicate it. We don't want to complicate it. We need to keep the way open. It's a plain path, Solomon would tell us. It's an open path. You see, I will find time for what is important to me. And what is important to me is pouring the truth of God's word into those around me. And that's, I hope, important to all of us. Because it's the word of God that will change things in the life. It is an eternal path, Solomon would tell us. We simply need to have eyes to see it. "I lift up my eyes to the hills," right? From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. The path is there. It's just so sometimes it becomes obscured because I get my eyes off the path. I lose focus. The pain of what's going on in my life changes me. But the Lord has given us a very clearly marked path. "This is the way, walk you in it," the scripture says. In the Old Testament, when they were laying out the tribes' inheritances, one of the things that they provided was what they called cities of refuge. And they had cities of refuge spaced on both sides of the Jordan, on the east side and the west side of the Jordan, cities of refuge where if somebody was fleeing for their life, they could run to that place and be safe. And the documentation about those cities of refuge in the religious writings of the Jews had some very clearly marked things that they had to do. One thing is the paths had to be 48 inches wide, and they put a signpost every 3 miles. And they would go out periodically, and they would make sure that there was nothing that was obstructing the path, because they wanted to make sure that that person was fleeing for their life, didn't lose their way, and end up forfeiting their life because they didn't get to the city of refuge. That's exactly what you and I are doing in our lives as we live our lives as believers in Jesus Christ. We are maintaining a path to a city of refuge, and his name is Jesus. He's the refuge. And so we make sure that the path is clear. We know and understand what the message of the gospel is about. And when people talk to us, we can point them to the signs every 3 miles and say, here's the way. If you walk in it, you will find refuge. You will find strength. You will find forgiveness. You'll find peace. You'll find hope. You'll find direction. You'll find heaven and so much more. But we need to keep the way open. We can obscure it if we're not careful. Verse 23, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season. How good is it? The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant words. He that is greedy of gain troubles his own house, but he that hates gifts shall live. Solomon tells us that we need to be providing wise counsel. We need to guide our tongue. We need to know how to speak and when to speak. Verse 23 talks about timely words. A man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good is it? In the Gospel of Matthew, in Matthew 16, Jesus took the disciples up to a place called Caesarea Philippi. It's right in the north of the nation of Israel. It's right on the border between Israel and Lebanon, and it's right by where the headwaters of the Jordan begin. Beautiful place. And he took them up there, and he asked them a question. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that the Son of Man is? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. You see, that spoken word brought revelation, because it was a timely word. It was a word that the Lord had anointed Peter to speak. When you speak timely words, when you speak truth into people's lives, you are speaking revelation into their lives. The Lord is revealing to them the truth so that they can be set free, so that they can be guided and directed. In the book of Acts, Acts chapter 15, they were having a council, and all the big guns had gathered together there in Jerusalem, and they were talking about whether or not new believers, Gentile believers, had to keep the law. And so they were arguing back and forth. And finally, James spoke up. And when he spoke revelation. He spoke truth. And the meeting calmed. Everything calmed. Why? Because it was a timely word. Sometimes we need to be still, but there are times when the Lord will prompt you to speak. And when he does, you need to speak, because it will impact the world around you. He tells us that these words are pure words and they're pleasant to others. Psalm 12 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Lord, help my words, the communication of my mouth, those things that come out of my lips, to be pure. I hear so many times the slang of the world coming out of Christians' lips, and it's sad. And I don't know that they even catch it, but I mean, there are words that are used that are simply a replacement for a word that's much worse, but everybody knows what's being said. We need to be sure that we're not communicating like the world. We need to have pure lips, because self-serving words lead to trouble. We never want to be self-serving. Help us not, Lord, to manipulate others to try and get what we want. You remember when Mary brought that jar of spikenard, she broke it and she anointed Jesus. And on the heels of that, Judas complained because that jar could have been sold for 300 pence, which was a year's wages. But it also tells us that the reason he did was because he was the keeper of the bag. He cared not at all about the action or the spikenard. He cared about the money. We need to check our motives. Greed is slavery, and it wants to control us. Psalmist says we need to be satisfied with God's provision. In verse 28, the heart of the righteous studies to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones fat. Verse 28 tells us that we need to restrain our tongue. We need to take time and listen. So often we want to speak. I don't know if you do this. Listening is really an art, and I'm still working on it. I'll get it right about the time I step into eternity, probably. But what we find ourselves doing is when someone's communicating with us, I don't know if you do this, but sometimes I do, and I try not to, but I'm thinking ahead. I'm thinking ahead of what they're saying so that I can formulate an answer so that when they're done speaking, I can speak. But when I do that, I miss so much of what they're saying. And we need to take time and listen. You know, when we want to race into something and get it done quickly, it ends up that what we put out is half-baked. Have you ever baked something in the oven and it looks really just wonderful golden brown on the top and along the edges, and it must be time to come out? You pull it out and you cut into in the middle of it and it's like goo. You ever done that, ladies? You don't have to shake your head yes, because then everyone would know. But that's exactly what happens in our lives when we begin to speak too quickly, when we don't take time to listen and to hear what's being said. God isn't in a hurry. Have you ever noticed that? God's not in a hurry. Moses found that out. Number two guy in Egypt, and he's out there, and there's an Egyptian abusing a couple of his brothers. And it says Moses looked this way, and he looked that way, and he killed the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. In Acts, it tells us something interesting. It says that Moses supposed that they would understand that God was granting them, the Jews, deliverance by his hand. Moses knew at that point that he was to be an instrument in God's hands to deal with the deliverance of Egypt. The problem was he was 40 years too early. And so for the next 40 years, he's out on the backside of the desert of Midian, listening to sheep, until the Lord calls him back and says, okay, Mo, now it's time to go back. I have a plan. We don't want to be like Moses. We don't want to be on the backside of the wilderness for 40 years. I don't think I have 40 years. Lord, help us to wait upon you. Help us to move in your timing, Lord, and not our own. Because the reality is that light is available. We see that in verse 30. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes bones fat. The psalmist says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The eyes are the window to the soul. What people see, what do people see when they look in your eyes? Do they see light or do they see darkness? You know what I'm talking about. You've encountered people on both sides of that equation, haven't you? Sure. There are times when we'll look into the eyes of someone and it is as if you're looking into the eyes of hell. It's crazy. But there are others, you look into their eyes, you don't know them from anyone. You look into their eyes and you know that Jesus has touched them. You see it in their eyes. It's a powerful thing. And the Lord would tell us, if you will simply hide my word in your heart, your eyes will be light. Thy word, the psalmist says, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Spend time in God's word. Oh, by the way, how is everyone doing with reading the Bible through this year? We should be about chapter 25, 23 to 25, but who's counting? Not too late to start. If you haven't started, start reading through the Word of God. So important. Okay, so as we wrap this up this morning, verse 31, the ear that hears reproof of life abides among the wise. He that refuses instruction despises his own soul, but he that hears reproof gets understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. We need to temper our tongues. We need to be those who are willing to spend time hearing what the Spirit would say to the church. So often, we talk about conversation, but usually when we talk about conversation, we really mean dialogue. We want to have a dialogue with one another. In other words, not one side's doing all the talking. And that should be true in our prayer life as well. So often it's a monologue rather than a dialogue. I spend all my time talking to the Lord, and we need to talk to the Lord. Don't hear me say we don't. But there are times when I need to take a breath and say, okay, God, what do you have to say to me this morning, tonight, this day? Speak to me through your word, Lord. Speak to me by your spirit, Lord. Bring someone across my path, Lord, that can speak Jesus into my life. James says it this way, wherefore, my beloved brother, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. It's important for us to take time to receive instruction, correction. The person that's willing to do that won't despise their own soul. It says if we refuse to listen to instruction, like that individual I was talking to you about that I met this week, it says that they despise their own soul, their mind, their will, their emotions. Lord, help me to be willing to be instructed. None of us ever get to the point where we don't need instruction, no matter how old we get. I'm so thankful for that reality. In verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, before honor is humility. Relationship with Jesus opens our understanding to servanthood. 99% of our problems would go away if we would simply serve one another. In marriage, in family, workplace, it would go away. We need to be servants of all. And that's a calling. That's what Jesus did. Mark 10:45 says, for the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. That is the mantle that he's placed on you today and me. Not to be served, but to serve and give our life a ransom for many. But you know as well as I do that that takes time. Let's be willing to invest. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, and let the Lord do his transformative work that we can indeed impact this world for Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you for the wisdom that you imparted to Solomon and that you allowed him to impart to us. Father, there's so much packed in there, much that we didn't even touch on. I pray, Father, that you would help us to consider today and in the days ahead, Proverbs 15 and all that it contains, Lord. and to look ahead in the chapters ahead, Father, that we might be prepared to hear what you would say to us as we study together, Lord, on Wednesday evening and then next Sunday as well, and in the Sundays beyond. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be servants of one another. Use us, Lord, to bless the lives of those with whom we come in contact. Help us, Lord, to speak words that will build up and not tear down, that will bring wholeness and not holes, Lord. Help us not to pierce others. Help us to be those who are Spirit-led, Spirit-controlled, Spirit-empowered, Lord. Fill us afresh today with your Spirit, Father. Pour out your Spirit upon us. Anoint us for service. Might we serve you well. Bind us together as one. Every person in this place, Lord, we are connected by your Spirit. May we serve you together. Pray the Lord would encourage your heart today, that he would strengthen you and guide and direct your steps, that he would use you for his glory, and that he would bring those across your path to whom you can speak Jesus. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.